Alaska's deficit will require billions drawn from savings to shore up the budget. Lawmakers and the governor are working to trim spending, but how can it be accomplished without hurting the economy? Good morning, I'm Lori Townsend. The governor wants to stop spending on some large infrastructure projects, but wants to beef up this in-state gas line proposal and expand Medicaid. Republican lawmakers are pushing back against these ideas and also offering some of their own. How will they compromise to get state spending in check? Governor Bill Walker is our guest today on Talk of Alaska Statewide.
Today's program is underwritten in part by
First National Bank Alaska, where local knowledge and experience make the difference. We believe in Alaska. Learn more at fnbalaska.com. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. The MBA program at Alaska Pacific University offers working professionals courses designed to fit their busy lifestyles. With hybrid online and in-person classes, the MBA at APU is an accelerated, affordable, and high-quality pathway to career advancement. Learn more by calling 800-252-7528 or visiting alaskapacific.edu. This message sponsored by APU. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters.
Good morning. Welcome to Talk of Alaska. Alaska leaders have a lot of hard work in front of them. Rein in spending in a time of oil prices that are around half of what they need to be to support the current budget. This is juxtaposed against a growing state population and the financial demands that come with that, and a population that loves the permanent fund dividend and doesn't like taxes. We're talking about the budget cutting and the way forward today. Governor Bill Walker is our guest. You can join us at 1-800-478-8255 or locally in Anchorage, 550-8422. Good morning, Governor Walker. Thanks for joining us from the studio of KTOO in Juneau.
Good morning, Lori. Thank you very much.
Thank you for being here. And with you is Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson. Good morning, Commissioner Davidson.
Good morning, Lori.
Thank you so much for both of you joining us. We're going to be discussing other facets of the budget and hear from other Alaskans. But first, while we have Commissioner Davidson with us, let's discuss one of the biggest parts of the budget, Medicaid. Governor Walker, I know that you're planning to hold a press conference today, and I'm sure you don't want to steal your own thunder before that press avail. But I'm going to ask anyway, should we expect a Medicaid bill from your administration?
You can. It's appropriate to expect that. We've been working on one for some time now, so we're excited about working towards getting that transmitted soon.
And can you talk about how it will differ from the one that has that Representative Andy Josephson introduced and has somewhat languished?
Well, ours will have a reform piece to it as well, and that's something we've listened to closely to. Legislators have asked for reform at the same time as part of a bill for expansion. So it's a combination of both.
That you're having a press conference today at 12:30, and are you anticipating that you will roll that out in the next few days, or when? What's the timeline?
Yeah, it'll be made available. First, we need to do it through the appropriate process of transmitting it to the legislature, and we're in the process of doing that now. So today we want to just talk about sort of what they can expect to see in the legislation, sort of our goals, some things we think we've accomplished and what we've put together. So it gives them a little bit of a heads up about what they expect to see once the bill's been transmitted.
Well, let's talk about that. Commissioner Davidson, you're on the line here. What's in this proposal that will help convince Republicans that expansion is the right move?
So as Governor Walker mentioned when he released the Healthy Alaska Plan, we think that Medicaid expansion at this time and reform can go hand in hand. And the Healthy Alaska Plan shows that expanding Medicaid really does four things. First, it's healthy for Alaskans because it provides health care coverage to up to 40,000 Alaskans. We anticipate about 20,000 people would actually enroll in the first year. The second is it's also healthy for the economy, infusing a little over $1 billion in federal revenues into our economy for the first 6 years alone. It's also healthy for the state general fund budget because right now we pay for a certain number of healthcare services with entire 100% general funds, and we can transition those to federal funds. And then we also believe that it is a catalyst for reform. One of the things, there are a number of reform opportunities that are available. Those shouldn't come as any surprise to folks. Many of them were outlined in the Healthy Alaska Plan. One of the things that is different than the other two bills that are out there, as Governor Walker mentioned, is in the bill that was introduced in the Senate last week, I believe, the bill was reform but not expansion. And the other bill introduced on the House that was pre-filed was expansion but no reform. So this bill that Governor Walker is going to transmit today does both expansion and reform.
The bill that Senator Pete Kelly introduced, the reform bill that you mentioned, it includes lots of ideas for reducing Medicaid spending. Are there ideas in that bill that you think might work?
I think there are some that are consistent with what we have said. Certainly this administration has said, for example, there are opportunities that our state has by maximizing existing 100% federal match opportunities that exist, quite frankly, even before Medicaid expansion, during Medicaid expansion, and after Medicaid expansion. So if three things come together, if you have an IHS beneficiary who's also a Medicaid beneficiary, and the third is if they are seen in an IHS facility or a tribally operated facility, that's actually 100% federal. And we want to be able to maximize those opportunities. There are also other ways that we can basically refinance our opportunities to be able to pay for health care in Alaska while at the same time expanding coverage. And you know, in Alaska, we don't often have the opportunity to be able to extend coverage while at the same time saving the state general fund. And when those opportunities come along, we really should seize those opportunities.
Are you hopeful that the proposal that the administration will introduce will sort of just be the one that becomes the focus then, and the other proposals will go away?
Well, we do hope that, and we believe that will be the case because, as the commissioner so has well stated, we sort of take the you know, it's sort of a combination of the both in some respects. It has both the reform and the expansion in the same piece of legislation. So we expect that's going to be the one that's going to move forward. We would think it would be anyway.
Managed care is a big feature of Senator Kelly's bill. Do you think Alaska's Medicaid system could benefit from managed care?
So I think there are a couple of different ways to be able to do that. There's a managed care in terms of a managed care legal entity, which is a little bit more complicated. And I know that some have wondered in the past if that's necessarily a model that would work in Alaska, given our small population. But there are certainly other things that we can do to manage the care of the beneficiaries that we have. So ensuring that an individual, which we've already actually undertaken as a department, ensuring that people who, for example, utilize the emergency room system perhaps too frequently, matching them up with a care coordinator that will intervene, allow them to see a more appropriate provider at a more appropriate level and, quite frankly, at the more appropriate time. And so there's a lot of that activity that we anticipate continuing. The legislation that Governor Walker is going to transmit to the legislature today also expressly provides for broad reform authority, including payment reform and innovative service delivery models. Because there may be other opportunities that arise that, quite frankly, we may not have thought of, and even CMS or the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services through their Innovation Center may not have even provided those opportunities. And we want to make sure that we have express authority to be able to redesign our healthcare delivery system so that it can be sustainable over time and continue to provide services for our vulnerable Alaskans.
If you're just tuning in, our conversation today is with Governor Bill Walker, and we also have Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson on the line with us from Studio KTOO in Juneau. And we're talking about Medicaid expansion, and also we'll be talking about other budget issues today. You can join us at 1-800-478-8255 or locally 550-8422. We're focused on Medicaid right now. We will be moving to other budgetary issues in a bit. There's been a lot of the debate around Medicaid, as both of you well know, focuses on the argument of whether you reform Medicaid first and then think about expansion, or reform Medicaid while you expand. Why do you think it's important to do both at the same time?
Well, a couple of reasons. I think Alaskans want to see some, you know, especially in our situation that we're in now fiscally. I think they want to see some sort of steps in the right in the direction towards reduced costs. I mean, we're seeing that on every level that we're working with. We do that in education, other areas. So I think Alaskans would like to see that. Clearly, the legislature would like to see that, and so we think that's appropriate. So I think it's rather than some have said, you know, we formed now and then Medicaid after that. Others said Medicaid expansion now, then we'll reform. So we said, well, let's just do it at the same time and not worry about which one's the chicken, which one's the egg. We'll just do it together. So I think that's the most productive as far as getting being able to actually accept the expanded Medicaid funding from what we've paid for.
Would you say that there's broad agreement that the program does need to be reformed?
No, I think there is. I think that I've yet to run anybody that says, you know, it shouldn't be reformed at all. I think that there's broad agreement to that. And so, but I guess one thing we want to say is that doesn't just stop with this. It was as an ongoing beyond the legislation, as we see areas of reform that we can do it better and with more cost savings, we'll certainly look at that.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Lori, if I may jump in here. Yes. Also, one of the things that we know is that we're also building upon the reform efforts that are already underway in the department. And, you know, reform isn't something that you just start one day and then tomorrow it just automatically ends. Reform is a process. And right now in Alaska, we have a fee-for-service system. We would like to look at changing the way that we pay and reimburse for services in the future. But all of these things are things that take time. It's not something that you can start today and say that tomorrow we're going to be done. It's an evolution. Our healthcare delivery system in Alaska is something, quite frankly, that has developed over time as our population has grown, as our needs of a state have changed. And we see this as a tremendous opportunity to be able to marshal our resources, to be able to provide services efficiently and as effectively as possible, especially as Governor Walker mentioned, in these challenging budget times. We don't have a choice about reform, and we recognize that. And it's time for us to continue the responsible work that has already begun and to be able to continue that into the future.
Palmer Republican Representative Shelley Hughes is a member of the Freedom Caucus and said that Medicaid expansion doesn't encourage people to improve their income. She said it's time for churches to step up and communities to be kind and help those who are struggling, saying it's not the government's job to be kind. How do you respond to that? Is expanding Medicaid an act of kindness in your mind, or how do you see this?
You know, I think it's an act of Alaskans helping Alaskans. It's an act of, you know, when we're in tough times, we don't turn our back on Alaskans. We don't turn our back on each other. And, you know, many people are in a situation that they're working two jobs, they're doing, going to school, they're trying to, you know, improve their lot in life. And to not have health care coverage that's available, otherwise available, that may be what sets them back from improving their lot in life, quite honestly. So, you know, it's multifaceted. You know, we tend to say it's just the right thing to do. We believe it is the right thing to do. So it's you know, we've been overwhelmed by the broad base of support we've seen from not just from regions of the state, but also, you know, different groups of the state. Not just one particular facet. It's not just the healthcare providers. It's certainly Chamber of Commerce's that are certainly focused on not just the expansion, but also you know, smart reform as well. And so it's not a single focus group or special interest group issue. It's much, much broader than that.
And Lori, if I may, we've been talking about expansion, but I realize that there may be listeners who don't know the eligibility category. And expansion would cover adults without dependent children between the ages of 19 to 64 who aren't otherwise eligible for Medicaid. And these would be individuals who have incomes up to 138% of the federal poverty level. And what that means in terms of dollar amount is a single person who earns $20,314 or $976 per hour based upon a 40-hour work week, or a married couple who earn a combined income of $27,490 a year, or a combined income of $1,321 an hour based upon a 40-hour work week. And I recognize that there are some folks out there who have said, well, in challenging times, we should turn to our churches. And, you know, churches do incredible work, and they do reach out and help people in many, many ways. But quite frankly, in our state, there are some folks who need hospital care. They may need to receive cancer treatment. They may need to have long-term care services. And I'm not aware of any churches who provide that level of specialty care in Alaska. And so that's a wonderful opportunity for churches to be able to step up. But there are a lot of Alaskans, quite frankly, who need additional services that have much more acute health care needs.
And Lori, I might add to that that shifting this onto communities and other organizations, they're not entitled to receive the 100% funding from the federal government the state of Alaska is. So if we were to shift this off to someone else, they'd have to pay dollar for dollar. Whereas with what we're doing, it's 100% funded by the federal government. So it's very appropriate. There's really nobody else can do this other than the state of Alaska, and nobody else should. So, and again, this is, we all pay our taxes, to the federal government, and that these benefits go to some state. I think it's appropriate that they come to this state.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned in to Talk of Alaska. Governor Bill Walker and Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson are on the line with us. We're talking about Medicaid. We're going to be moving on in a few minutes to other budget issues. We've got calls stacking up from Alaskans who have a wide range of issues they want to talk about. But let's take one call here that is related to the Medicaid issue that we've been discussing in the first part of the show. Lauren from Anchorage is on the line. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, and I thank the governor and the commissioner for doing this program today.
Did you have a question?
Yes, I do. I'm on Medicaid, and I want to get to the point, and I'm on disability. I worked for over 30 years, and my body has a rare syndrome. So I'm one of those people that have benefited from Medicaid and Medicare. And even if I got off disability, SSDI, I'm being discouraged from getting off of it if you're not going to have Medicaid available for people with lower income. And I think it's very unrealistic to expect churches, to expect that program where doctors help people that volunteer their time. That's a great program, but like you mentioned, the hospital care is not covered by any of that. And hospital care is a lot of money. And the hospital are eating up the costs, and it's making it harder for them as well financially. So I really think, if you want to encourage people to work, then you should have, and if they're going to be lower income workers, then we've got to provide Medicare for them or for people that can't work. Not everybody can work. We're not all blessed with bodies that work.
All right. Well, thank you, Lauren, for that comment. If Medicaid expansion doesn't pass this session, what's next?
Well, we tend to focus on Plan A, and Plan B is to make sure that Plan A survives. So we're focused largely on getting this legislation passed this session.
All right. Well, thank you for those comments on Medicaid, and we have other calls on the line. But are there any last comments, Commissioner Davidson, that you would like to make before we move on to other budget issues?
Sure. I know that one of the thank you, Lori, and thank you, Lauren, for your comment. And on that point, actually 44% of the people in the expansion group are actually people who are working. And an additional 29% are people who are currently collecting unemployment, which means they are actively looking for work, or they perhaps they're a seasonal employee, or perhaps they were recently laid off. So what that tells us is over 70% of the people in the eligibility category are actually in the workforce. And these are people who simply cannot afford to purchase health insurance. But I know another thing that the legislature is grappling with right now is recidivism for our prisoner population. And quite frankly, at the rate we are going in our state, we're going to need to build another Goose Creek prison in a few years, simply because our trends for our corrections population is increasing. And interestingly, another state similar to ours, Texas, a few years ago, had this very same issue, dealing with budget challenges, faced with the prospect of having to build another prison to meet that additional demand. And what they did instead was they invested in behavioral health services, in treatment services, in mental health services for their prison population, and diversion programs, and saw a 22% decrease in recidivism, so that they were allowed, which prevented them from having to build another prison. And here in Alaska, I guess if we look at Texas's experience, we have a choice to make. Do we want to build healthy Alaskans, or do we want to build another prison? And I think the answer is, if we say that we want Alaskans to be as self-sufficient as possible, we want to be able to build healthier Alaskans. And if we agree on that premise, then the second question is, how do we finance that? And Medicaid expansion is probably the best opportunity that we have to be able to finance that. And we can have, you know, a person who perhaps they're a young person, they made a terrible mistake under the influence when they were 21, and it's a one-off. Recognizing that we have the opportunity to send that person to treatment to completely change their life around. But that person right now may be probably doesn't have health coverage. And to the extent that that person is eligible for Medicaid expansion, those would be paid for with substantially federal dollars. And also for people who are in prison, when they leave prison, they may have had a wonderful treatment program, either for substance abuse treatment or mental health treatment. But unfortunately, they're going back to the same community, and they may have no payer for that service. And wouldn't it be great if, as we know, a significant portion of that population is in the expansion group, and they would be able to continue their services, behavioral health services, that will allow them to be able to improve their lives of not only themselves, but their families and also their communities.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Health and Social Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson, and also Governor Bill Walker is our primary guest today on Talk of Alaska. We've been talking about Medicaid expansion, which is a big desire of the governor and certainly Commissioner Davidson. They are speaking to us from the KTOO studios in Juneau. We are going to move on to other budget issues now, and we have lots of callers on the line, which is fantastic. Governor, yesterday the New York Times reported that oil prices fell to a six-year lows yesterday, and the price of oil has fallen nearly 59% since last July. Clearly, we need to figure out how we're going to rein in spending. That's something that's been, of course, a big preoccupation with the legislature and with your administration. But where is the sort of percentage sweet spot to get on a more stable path without crumbling the economy? What are your economic advisors telling you can be cut without sending the state into recession and scaring investors? You gave your agency heads the task of looking at what 25% in cuts would look like. What are you hearing? What is that place that can be cut in this session?
Well, I think it's a matter of we didn't get where we are. We didn't get that overnight. I mean, it took a number of years of the budget growing and growing and growing. And so we're not going to get to where we need to be overnight either. So it's not any single budget year. It's been referred to as a glide slope. We don't want to be too steep on our reductions and create a fiscal sort of tailspin within the economy. But on the other hand, we've got to be mindful of the circumstances that we are surrounded by. Some can certainly say, well, we have a significant savings. We could live off our savings. That's a problem. That's a problem because we don't know how long these prices, low oil prices, will continue. So because of that, it's hard to say we can live off the savings. We just don't know how long that's going to be. So, you know, it's a process. And it's a joint process. You know, we make our budget adjustments. The legislature makes theirs. We have an opportunity to weigh in on the ones they've made. And so it's been a collaborative process. I don't think anybody is particularly enamored with what we have to do. But we don't have a choice. I mean, we play the hand we're dealt, and we're dealt a low hand on oil prices, and so it's. So the 25% reduction that I requested, it was for what would your department look like 4 years from now with the 25% reduction. So it wasn't a 25% in 1 year necessarily. So I think we're all trying to get to the same place. I'm not sure there's a magic number of when we're there because it's sort of a moving target based upon the price of oil.
1-800-478-8255 is the number to call statewide. 550-8422 is the number locally. And we're talking with Governor Bill Walker about the state of the budget. Governor Walker, we're going to take a call now from Ryan in Anchorage, who wants to talk about renewable resources. Ryan?
Hi. So this question is provoked by the current public comment period with the Department of Natural Resources. And I was thinking, asking you, what are your thoughts about trading a renewable resource such as salmon for a non-renewable resource such as coal in the case of the proposed Chewitna coal mine near Beluga and Tyonek?
Well, in general, thanks, Ryan, for the call. In general, I renewable resources are very critical to us, and obviously fishing is very, very critical. So what I will look at and evaluate things based upon making sure we're not significantly damaging our renewable resource for a non-renewable resource. We have to be careful about that. It's a trade-off that I don't think I'm interested in pushing hard to do anything that's going to damage our renewable resource of fish. I mean, here in Southeast, there's a number of issues associated with across boundary issues in British Columbia with projects there. That we're looking at as far as making sure that what we do all we can to make sure that doesn't happen. So just as a general rule of thumb, I'm not a pretty protective of renewable resources.
Governor, Dermot Cole is in the second today. The article came out in the Alaska Dispatch, the second in a three-part series. And he mentioned that the richest renewable resource is cash in the bank for Alaska. When you look out beyond this immediate crisis that we're in, we talk about when oil prices recover, when more production comes online, if that happens. But what are the ideas that are out there for a more sustainable and diverse economy? What could possibly have the financial horsepower of oil? What's on the horizon?
Well, I mean, certainly gas is certainly on the horizon, and that certainly has the significant horsepower fiscally. There's no question about that, and that's why I've been advancing that significantly. You know, I've always said is that Alaska does not have a wealth problem; we have a cash flow problem, and the cash flow problem is created by the low oil prices. So we have our wealth consists of our natural resources. I mean, we are the most resource-rich state in the nation, in all sorts of ways, and so I'm a big proponent of responsible development of our resources. our wealth is a form of a resource as well. And of course, those resources are also tied to, you know, the returns on investments that we make, across the world with the permanent fund investment. So we are tied to, you know, not completely under our own control, but we are influenced. Our finances are influenced by the world markets based upon, you know, investments as well as the price of the resources we export, largely oil. But it's gas can be a big new entrant on the fiscal side.
We're going to be talking about that very thing when we come back from a short break as Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from
Condor Airlines, with nonstop service from Ted Stevens International Airport to Germany and beyond. More information available on condor.com. Condor, born to fly. The Older Persons Action Group is the publisher of the monthly Senior Voice newspaper and the 2015 Directory for Older Alaskans. To order the directory or learn more, go to seniorvoicealaska.com. This message sponsored by OPAG.
The School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast is open for business with courses in accounting, human resources, and public administration. Degree programs and courses available online. More at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Lori Townsend. Governor Bill Walker is on the line with us from the studios of KTOO in Juneau. We're going to go to the phones in just a moment because there's, lots of calls on there. But before we do that, Governor, I wanted to ask a question about gas and the gas line proposal. Gas prices are around $3 or $4 per 1,000 cubic foot right now. They need to be around $7 to pencil out to build a gas line. How will that get done at these prices?
Well, actually, the prices in the Asian market are higher than the U.S. market, of course, because the Asian prices are tied to, it's called Japanese crude cocktail and the JCC, versus lower 48 is tied to a Henry Hub. So there's two different indexes. But, you know, everybody recognizes right now the prices are low. But, you know, projects are continuing to be developed. No one expects them to stay at this price at all. And we've seen this cycle in the past. So that, fortunately, has not dissuaded interest in certainly AKLNG has continued to advance aggressively without any sort of change as a result of low gas prices. So I think that, you know, it's a cycle that we don't stop because it would be years before it would actually, you know, be completed. So it would not be on today's prices.
All right. We're going to take a call now from Austin in the Aleutians. Good morning, Austin.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. And I also thank you so much to Governor Walker for coming on the program. It's really exciting to hear your ideas spoken out. My question was just kind of about the long term. Right now, there's so much talking about the budget cuts and whatnot, but what's the long term plan to make sure that Alaska doesn't get into this position again one day with an overinflated budget or, you know, a big deficit in case of a big shortfall in revenue?
Well, Austin, thanks for that call. I just actually had dinner last night, going to the reception for the Alaska representatives are in Juneau. So, one thing that's nobody ever misses is when they're in town, when they have the Unalaska Seafood Gala, whatever it's called, everybody wants to be there and whatnot. So, but, you know, what we need to do is make sure that, yeah, you're absolutely right. We make sure we're not in this situation again. Let's fix it for the long term. There's a couple ways we do that. One is that we diversify our economy in such that that our economy is not completely dependent upon non-renewable resources. And so, you know, and that has to do with so obviously fisheries is one. We can do that. Technology is another. I've always been a long proponent of value added, that we actually make things in Alaska. We make a product in Alaska. We do some locations, but not as much as I think we could. But I always liked in this situation, let's learn from you know, what got us here, and let's you know, we'll dig our way out of the situation, but let's make sure we do it in such a way that we focus on a long game. I've always said we've got to deal with the today situation, but let's not take our eye off the long game to make sure that we don't have this again. And again, that does come with diversification, a combination of diversification and also some budget adjustments. We need to get into a situation that it would be nice if we could you know, financially hedge in such a way so we aren't totally riding the wave of the oil prices. I mean, we've been here a number of times before. Certainly, we're here during the 80s. One thing I do say, especially in Fairbanks, as I was born there, is that when I was born in the territory of Alaska, the price of oil was zero. So we've come up $50 rather than come down $50 in my book. So, but we have to. I come from a building background. We need to have a long-term plan, a long-term vision, where we want to get to, and that's where we want to get to, is a place that we're not so dependent upon one particular commodity that we don't have any control over the price.
All right. Thanks for that call, Austin. We're going to go to Kodiak now, and Dennis in Kodiak has a question for us. Good morning, Dennis.
Greetings, Governor. I'm grateful that you submit yourself to this. I can just imagine how busy you are. And going back just to praise you a little bit more, you know, I listened intently when you were here and turned around and you were standing there and boy, this guy wants this job. I was a little hesitant in, you know, casting the vote. No, I didn't hear any, you know, answers to the pebble mine thing. But, you're implementing what you presented yourself to be. You and Byron pulled together for the state of Alaska. For that, I'm grateful. I've got a bunch of X's on questions already asked here. Do you have a comment on the pebble mine? Is that an issue? Is that something that you would like to talk about at all?
Sure. Thanks, Dennis, for the call. And by the way, I had the pleasure the other day of announcing the winner of one of the statewide seafood tasting contests, and Pickled Willie's won once more for the smoked black cod. It's just absolutely phenomenal. I enjoyed in Kodiak to go and have the smoked black cod on a stick from Pickled Willie's. It was really, really good. On the Pebble Mine, I have not been bashful about that. I'm not in support of the current plan, just because it certainly has every indication to me that it's going to risk a renewable resource in the development of that mine under the current plan. I will certainly listen to them, meet with them. I look forward to that. But I have been very open about my concern about on the Pebble Mine, because again, that's such a the largest return of salmon in wild stock in the nation, you know, in the world, and one of the world leaders in that. And so we need to, you know, be careful about that. So I've been very, very concerned. I've been very open about that. So not something I support at this point. I'm a pretty good listener. I'm always anxious to listen. I know they're anxious to talk to me, and I'll listen, but I'm pretty upfront with where I am, and I have been for quite a while.
Right on. I appreciate you answering that. And I praise all public servants of this great land here, especially our governor. And thanks again. I hope you get to stick around. I particularly remember you talking about meeting with, you know, leaders of countries. I think you mentioned Norway when you were here on the stage with your candidates. And you know, they almost chuckle at this. You know, why isn't it that you guys haven't gotten where you've gotten? We obviously needed a change. I'm grateful that you and Byron stepped up and support you any way we can. So thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Dennis. And if I could just add to that, but Byron Mallott is just, I'm the luckiest governor in the history of the state of Alaska, because I get to work with Byron Mallott every day. it is such a joy to work with him. His office is right next to mine. There's, you know, the typical office is down at the end of the hall, and it's still available there, but our office is right next to each other, and it's just he is just a great Alaskan to work with. So I've enjoyed that immensely, and it's brought a lot more fun to the job, I think, because I'm working with somebody I have a lot of respect for. We both share the same deep love for the state. He's, you know, born in Yakutat. So it just makes it a whole different experience for me.
Governor Walker is our guest today on Talk of Alaska. Governor, we have a lot of questions about Pakrum Coal and the Tuitna River and people wanting to know about that. I would like you to respond to those concerns about that proposal. But before we do that, we're going to take Ruth in Talkeetna. Good morning, Ruth.
Hi. I'm calling to talk about the Susitna Dam. And I'll just start by saying that we have a pretty diversified economy up here in Talkeetna. It's based on tourism and fish. And if the Susitna Dam goes through, that economy will be gone. But my question today is that I'm really concerned that AEA is still promoting this project. They're going to forums. They're talking about the fact that they have enough money to keep going until the price of oil goes back up and they have money to spend. It's $7 billion right now. Doesn't include the $1 billion for more infrastructure. It doesn't include what the cost will really be. So I would like to know if there's anything the governor can do to stop this project now, since his stop work order doesn't appear to be working. That's my question.
Thank you, Ruth, and you do have a wonderful tourism economy in Talkeetna. We've enjoyed those huge pancakes that we get. I don't remember the name of the location, but I know how to get there. But we've enjoyed that immensely over the years, and Talkeetna is a very special spot. But you know, as far as the mega projects, when I first came into office, I did need to stop the major drain on some of these big mega projects, and I did sort of bring the hammer down on those sort of across the board. And what we're doing is we're looking at each one individually and finding out, you know, where are we in the project? Are we at a stopping point that if we what I don't want to do is stop something that triggers a repayment. Let's just talk about the Juno Road project for a moment. There's some concern that if that project comes to a cold stop right now, that could trigger a repayment obligation to the state. Whereas if we spend another, you know, I think $300,000, we'll get to the point in the project where it will come to a decision point that if we stopped at that point, there'd be no repayment to the federal government. So I'm not in a real supporter of repaying money to the federal government based on a lot of reasons. We don't go into that today, but. So on that particular project, it's one there's a logical stopping point. There's additional work that can be done on some of the analysis and whatnot. Our financial situation is it'd be very, very tough for us to fulfill that project at this point or make a commitment to do that, obviously, with our fiscal situation that we're in. So, but we will bring each project, look at, you know, how we can nudge it up to the appropriate point and then say, do we put it in park and we just put it on the shelf at that point, which my guess on some of these, we're going to have to do that because we just don't, you know, when we're draining our savings at about $10 to $12 million a day, you could build a new school every 3 days under our current budget deficit situation. So, but we have to be responsible in how we sort of close these things out. I continue to meet with different commissioners on different projects just because it seems like awfully big numbers to close something out. I typically put the close sign to turn the close sign around in a business as I've owned in it, and you know, it's closed for the day. But obviously, it doesn't work that way when you're in a permitting process. So, and the other thing is that you know millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, have gone to this project. So I want to make sure that we stop it at a point that we have not. We don't have to start over again if for some reason somebody wants it, you know, in a future time in a different fiscal situation to restart those. We don't have to start over again. So we're trying to be fiscally responsible with each individual project on sort of a case-by-case basis. And so that, I know it comes across as a bit confusing. We start when we're stopped, and we stop and then we're starting again. But we're doing that because there's a fiscally sound reason to do it that way, and it doesn't mean we're going to do the project or we're not going to do the project. It's just that we don't want to trigger a significant repayment to the federal government.
Governor Walker, as I mentioned earlier, there's several email questions about the Tuitna coal mine proposal. One person wrote in and said, "There's no dancing around that it's a project that would be forcing the state to choose between salmon for Alaskans or coal for an outside mining company. How do you see these kinds of proposals and respond to a statement like that?
Well, we have to weigh them in all respect. We have to weigh them on the fiscal side as well as on the on both sides. What are we, for every thing we do, is there something else we're doing that potentially we're damaging another particular industry? So we have to balance it that way. I mean, we're a resource state. We're what I call a responsible resource state. So if there's ways of extracting our resources without a significant trade-off in another part of our economy, then we'll do that. If it's one to the other, I've always said I always will default to a renewable resource versus a non-renewable resource.
Governor, we have a lot of calls on the line, but I want to ask a couple of questions about the current budget and the reserves, the savings that we have. You sat down with a rating agencies earlier this year. Your presentation included information on the state's permanent fund earnings reserve account, the $6 billion account that can be drawn on from with just a simple majority of the legislature. What's your plan for the permanent fund reserves should the constitutional budget reserves dry up during your term in office?
Well, at this point, we don't have a plan for that. Certainly, we'll have some potentially have some discussions of all the options on the table. In the budget or the rating agencies in New York were impressed by is the fact that of the money that's in the various reserve accounts, they're sort of self-restricted. In other words, the legislature with a certain percentage of votes could have access to them, and that's how they sort of look at our options available. So, when we get to that point, at some point we're going to have to address the revenue side of the picture. I mean, we can't. It's clear, and Governor Hickel used to always say, and I certainly, he was certainly a mentor of mine. You can't cut your way into prosperity, and that's true. You can't. You need to grow your way into prosperity. But I think we need to right size our budget first before we reach for those revenue levers. Will we look at those in the future? Of course we will. We have to, and it's probably time that we get into doing that. But I think to reach for the revenue sources too soon. Gets the whole dialogue is between more revenue versus making some adjustments to the budget. I think that the revenue options become more palatable to Alaskans if we have right-sized our budget beforehand.
All right. Thank you, Governor Walker. We are going to talk about the advent of potentially looking at taxes or other ideas for revenue generation after we come back from a short break and Talk of Alaska continues statewide.
Talk of Alaska comes to you from APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network, and is made possible with support from this APRN member station. If you're ready to quit tobacco, Alaska's Tobacco Quit Line can help with free confidential coaching and support services through the telephone and online. Now introducing Text to Quit, a way to help you use medications correctly, manage urges, and prevent relapse all from your mobile phone. Call 1-800-QUIT now or visit alaskaquitline.com for more information. This message sponsored by Alaska's Tobacco Prevention and Control Program.
Support for APRN Iditarod coverage comes from Wells Fargo, proud supporter of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race and dedicated to helping people reach their goals on and off the trail. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. Governor Bill Walker is our guest today. He's coming to us from KTOO in Juneau. Governor, you had reached out to Alaskans about ideas for what to do about the budget, and I'd love for you to talk about some of what you heard from Alaskans. But before you do that, there are some email comments here. One from Elaine and Palmer, who says, "We need to return to a state income tax. It should have never been canceled. No more free ride for Alaskans." What were some of the ideas that you heard from Alaskans? Was there a lot of talk of either reinstituting a state income tax or perhaps putting a cap on the amount of the permanent fund dividend each year?
Well, one thing I enjoy about reaching out to Alaskans is Alaskans are very creative. And there's a sort of a broad brush of options or menu that they suggested. We've got received thousands of responses. Some did talk about certainly we've received a lot of people talking about income tax. I've had a lot of people stop me in an airport or in a restaurant and talk about reinstituting the school tax. Everybody remembers the school tax from years ago. I'm not sure it used to be a $10 taken out of your first paycheck, and you kind of felt like. I'm not sure how far $10 out of first of every paycheck would go these days, but they've talked about reinstituting a school tax. There's been discussion about dealing with the permanent fund. There's been discussions about capping the permanent fund. Some have talked about. You know, a lot of our resources in Alaska, a lot of jobs are unfortunately held by folks that don't live in Alaska, and so we have a highly almost a transient population in that regard. So a lot of people are concerned that we do something that captures, so they don't travel up here on their month on, month off, whatever it is, and then leave with their paycheck and don't really leave anything behind. So they've been concerned about that. How to deal with that? There's been talk of sales taxes. It's just it's just as diverse as Alaska is. That's how diverse the revenue. Suggestions have been. Some have talked about increasing fees associated with fishing license, hunting license, out-of-state licenses. Yesterday, I spoke at a conference in Fairbanks, and there was some suggestions of that as far as out-of-state hunters and fishing that come up. So, again, these aren't anything I'm proposing, but I'm hearing all these comments and suggestions.
We had an email comment, someone wanting to know. About because the Alaska Constitution says that our resources have to be developed for the maximum benefit of the people, this person says that we are in violation. How can we not be in violation of our Constitution because of SB 21? He's suggesting that we're paying too much back to the oil companies in tax credits now, and asking about how this squares with the Constitution. How do you respond to that?
Well, that legislation, I think, was designed to spur additional incentives for additional exploration on the oil and gas industry. And we haven't heard much about that this session. And I think that everybody's sort of stepping away from that issue a bit at this point. I have made it. I was not bashful, but I was not in favor of that legislation. I was in favor of the repeal. And I said before the election, and I said afterwards, I'm not going to revisit that. And so I'm not at this point. So, but I've heard a little bit of discussion about it, but not much. I don't know that that's necessarily a direct violation. I think from the concept, though, is that we get the best deal we can get. And I think that's what the intent of that legislative, that constitutional mandate is, that when we develop for the maximum benefit, and it might also be in a monetary sense. Maybe it's the lower cost energy that we have in Alaska from our resources. We develop our resources in such a way that we get a benefit and have the lowest cost energy. And that's been a driving force for me for years. And in some parts of Alaska, there is affordable energy. Other parts, there's not. So we are becoming a state of the haves and the have-nots. So I read that a little differently. Some also read that same provision of the Constitution that it means that the maximum benefit of resources means the most money in Juneau for the legislature and the governor to work with. And I don't necessarily believe that. I think that the maximum benefit really needs, are we really able to live off the land and stay in areas of Alaska? We want to live there with affordable energy. So it's not always necessarily a monetary return off the resources, but a benefit can sometimes be in a form other than just a monetary return.
Governor Bill Walker is our guest on Talk of Alaska. We're going to go back to the phones. We only have about 7 minutes left in the program today, and quite a number of callers. Keith is in Anchorage. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Governor, I've listened to you just a couple minutes here on the show, and I agree with you wholeheartedly. We are resource rich. We need to develop more. We need to have a long game. And I have some concerns with the specific condition of the road in Ruby, Alaska. That road from the Yukon has gone into the Interior Mining District about 40 miles, and the state stopped maintaining that road 2 years ago. The cost of maintaining a road like that is $100,000 to $200,000 a year, and it's going to cost $30 or $40 million to replace it. Almost $1 billion worth of gold have come down that road in the last 100 years, and I would hope that we can maintain what we have in the eventuality that they will become part of our future. Without infrastructure, we're nowhere, and this is a small project. The amount of money it takes to keep it going is essentially one or two payrolls in the state budget. And I want to be sure that you're paying attention to these details, these smaller details that really make a difference to the whole state.
Well, thanks, Keith, for that question. And, you know, you're right. It's about what I've always said is, you know, we don't have a resource problem in Alaska. We have a distribution problem. And that involves, you know, roads. It means, roads, pipelines, access. It's a matter of a distribution for two things. One is to get access to our resources, and the other is to get the resources themselves distributed to either to Alaskans or the world market. So, and you're right. Maintenance is something that we can't ignore because we know the cost of the millions of dollars per mile it costs to build a road. So we need to make sure that what we have is available. One of the best examples I think we have as far as resources and access is the Red Dog Mine. That was done back in the mid-'80s when the developers of the mine said, you know, would the state of Alaska build a road to Tidewater to a port for them, and they would pay for it on a toll. And it's the only toll road we have in Alaska, and it's been very, very successful. So it's an example of the state stepping up and doing the infrastructure part, but tie it to specific projects. In other words, it's sort of I'm not in favor of building it and hoping somebody will go develop it at the other end of the road. If someone's going to develop, they come to us, sit down and say, here's what we'll do. If you do the infrastructure, we'll make these commitments. Then we'll have that discussion. So the other thing is anytime we build new roads and access to different locations, we need to take into consideration the impact on the residents that are either along the road or at the end of the road, because sometimes the impact to them is not always positive. So I'm a big believer of getting input early on. I come from a local government background. I think that the stakeholders should have a say early on in the discussion process, not here's what we've decided to do. You have 3 minutes to testify and tell us how you feel. That's not I don't think appropriate public input. So, but access is important. I mean, there's no question about it.
All right. I'd like to try to get just very quickly, Vic in Anchorage, if you could get a question in really fast, because we have just a little bit of time left.
Good morning, Governor. Thanks for being on the show. I voted for you hoping for change from the past three governors who...
quickly to your really question, please.
...took us down the wrong road in the wildlife management arena. And I'm wondering if we can expect to see you appoint some more moderate members to the Board of Game.
Governor?
Well, appointing members to all these boards is very, very important. And certainly the Board of Game is one, and Fish as well. And so we're looking at all input on that. And we're looking at all options on putting folks on boards, especially in the Board of Fish and the Board of Game as well, and the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. So
all right, thank you.
Appreciate your input on that, Vic.
Thank you very much, Governor Walker was our guest. Thanks to KTOO in Juneau for helping out.
By this member station of the Alaska Public Radio Network, by ConocoPhillips, investing in oil and gas production and creating jobs and business opportunities for Alaskans. ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company. Alaska Pacific University is a private liberal arts and sciences university that emphasizes student engagement with the social, cultural, and environmental issues in Alaska and the world. This message sponsored by APU. The Medallion Foundation and the Federal Aviation Administration set standards for the operation of aircraft and airports and provide services to the flying public. Passengers are influential in making flying safer in Alaska. When passengers know their rights and responsibilities, aviation is safer for everyone. Safety information online at faa.gov/go/flyalaska.
This message is sponsored by the Medallion Foundation. This program is a production of APRN, which is solely responsible for its content. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of APRN, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. CD copies are available by calling 550-8400.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.